Because oftentimes I've seen this also. A person was suffering with serious depression, and he was told, read the Quran. And he came to me and was like, man, the more I read the Quran, the more anxious I get. Because the problem is not the Quran, man. If someone's broken, they're broken. Why would Allah say to the Quraysh, after he sent Islam to them, why would he say, wa amanahum min khawf? Why would he say to them, I secured you? Think about Maslow. You were in a state of security, then I sent a prophet to you. So you were ready, internally and externally, spiritually and materially. It was all gravy. So now you're in a place where you can learn. If we're ministering to people, if we're serving people, we need to pay attention to the fact that they're ready for that moment. And if they're not ready for that moment, then carry them to the finish line. Don't rebuke them. So he says, it's okay at times to feel good in dunya. Like it's not like wrong. Like people actually send me messages, man. Is yoga halal? I was like, why? Like, because like I feel really good when I do yoga. I was like, what's wrong with feeling good? Al-wajhun shar'i. Then he says, al-haqiqatan tama hiya sakunu qalbi ila Allah ta'ala. But he says, true tranquility is to transcend the material and to transcend other things and to be pleased with and to be secure with and to have silence with God. What do you think that means? What do you think he means here? How do you, and my translation will be, this is, at different times will differ from the translation, so don't worry. What does he mean by that? Why is it called Iman Billah? We mistranslate this, by the way. It's translated as faith in God. But the word ba doesn't mean in. The word ba means with. Ba means to move. Marattu bil bayt. I passed by the house. So when the word ba is used in Arabic, right, it implies I'm moving. That's why when you want to do something before you do it, what do you say? Bismillah, because I'm moving, I'm hustling. Right? I'm hustling, so I'm out grinding. Bismillah. So when I say I believe in God, that implies only the acquisitions of rules I learned. But when I say I believe with God, oh snap, that's responsibility right there. I'll give a great example of this, man. When I converted, we had this brother who's amazing, mashallah. He memorized the Quran, alhamdulillah. But prior to that, he needed some rehabilitation. He needed some buddy forward work, you know what I mean? Like spiritual buddy forward work. We were young. We were all a whole gang of bloods who converted at the same time. So this guy, he loved to go to the club. Especially because he wasn't 21 yet. So I was like, yo, I'm up in the club. I'm not 21 yet. You know, it was like a big deal. Useless stuff. So he went to our sheikh. Because we were all memorizing the Quran as new Muslims. Wow, man, we were wild young guys, you know? And he said, Sheikh, like, I can't stop going to this place called the club. He's like, club? He's like, club, Sheikh. Sheikh was from Senegal, he's amazing, man. He's like, club? I said, yeah, club, Sheikh. Parle de français. He said, I know the answer. Sheikh, oh man, here's some sagest advice is about to rain from the heavens into our empty vessels and transform us. He was like, brother, next time you go to the club, say Bismillah. He said, I'm not gonna go. He said, exactly. But the sheikh was identifying what it means to be with God. Now you can understand the hadith, worship Allah as though you would. Because you're with him. But when we translate it as faith in God, that's not a relationship. But it's faith with. So when I have the opportunity to make a choice, I make the right choice because I'm in a relationship. I'm not window shopping for sin. Right? Everybody knows about window shopping. If they're married, your wife will tell you, no window shopping, brother. Oh, no. No. Curtains are cool. Right? It means looking around at things. I'm just window shopping. My grandfather used to tell my grandma, who was 80 years old, I'm just window shopping. She's like, nobody wants you. You're 80. He wasn't Muslim. He could do it. But there's no window shopping in Iman. Because I'm in a relationship. There's fidelity. That's how we should teach young people faith. You're with Allah, is with you. Why does Allah say in the Quran, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ I'm with you. And also, He has your back. It's out of love. But it's out of responsibility. So the Sheikh says, سُكُورُ qalb, right? The haqiqah, the reality of true wellness and true tranquility is to find that tranquility of the heart with what God has given you. That's tough, man. My mother's funny, God bless her. My mother used to tell me, I trust God until lunch. I said, what does that mean? She said, I wake up in the morning and I said, Jesus. She wasn't Muslim. Jesus, I give it all to you. And then by lunch, I'm like, can I have this back? Can I have this back? Like, I don't want, I need this, right? It's hard. And how do we achieve that? First of all, perfection is impossible. So don't ever think that this is asking you to be something you can't be. Imam al-Ghazali said something very important in his book that we should all remember. He said, everything that I talk about has to be understood in moderation. So, like, I'm not going to go extreme. I'm not going to also become neglectful. I'm going to struggle. This is a struggle. It's hard to tell people when they've lost a child, you know, have sukunul qalb. That's not possible. So this is something that we're constantly trying to achieve, even though it will never be perfect. And that's okay. But the idea of faith as a relationship and a process. And in a relationship, on our side, because we're not infinite and we're not perfect, we're going to make mistakes in that relationship. That's called tawbah. Talk about it. Then he says, وَهَذِهِ عَافِيَةُ أَهْلِ الْكَمَالِ وَهِيَ شَامِلَةُ بِكُلِّ حَالٍ And he said, that type of wellness is the people of Kamal. You notice a theme in his writing? What does Kamal mean? People who are whole. People who are complete. What he means here is, remember the context of the book. They've worked on the inner, they've worked on the outer. They've worked on the outer, they've worked on the inner. They're balanced. Ibn al-Jawzi said, how many foolish people have their pants above their ankles, but they look down at people? So like, although your pants are raised, your akhlaq is lowered. Like, it's hard to translate in English. What he's saying is like, yeah, you got your pants up high, but you're like low and arrogant. Like, there's a problem there. So Sheikh is saying, Ahlul Kamal, people that have that balance. And if we're going to Venn diagram this, you know, it's okay, for example, to be emotional. Like, we're not stoics, man. Like, I remember there was a sister, subhanAllah, a city I used to serve in. Her husband died and she was told, like, you can't see your husband after death because when he died, he divorced you. I was like, holy smokes, right? So then they called me. I said, Abu Bakr, he kissed his wife after she died. He washed his wife's body, man. And they're like, oh, well, brother, we didn't know. We just, what? I mean, you're just going to give answers like this? And it threw her off. And then they told her, well, it's not acceptable because you're going to go in there and start crying. And, you know, if you start crying, this means you're not pleased with God. And I was like, man, get a different job, dude. Like, really, like, yo, I find you something. But when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, if you've read the book Riyad Salihin of Imam An-Nawawi, in the chapter on patience, why does he go into detail about the mourning of Fatima alayha salam for her father? The people who know the story, that she wept. Why would Imam An-Nawawi say, that's cool, that's patience? As if to say, in the Venn diagram of what's emotionally expected of you as a person, it's okay to have lapses. That doesn't mean you violated something. This is the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who mourned his death. There's a place, now it's been destroyed in the name of religion, where she used to sit and she would weep at the loss of her father. And then when Anas ibn Malik said we were burying him, she scolded us and she yelled, Ya Abata, oh my father! Like she was moved. And none of the Sahaba said to her, you know, like you need to check yourself, dude. Like, I don't know, I don't think this is religious. That's why, and now he puts it there as if to say, that's okay, that's human, that's normal. Then she said to Anas, how are you putting dirt on the body of our Prophet? Like she's moved. When the Prophet died, Sayyidina Ali, he fainted. Sayyidina Uthman fainted. And we all know how Umar reacted. What did Umar say? Nah, man, I don't believe it. It's like in a state of delusion. Did anyone say to any of those people, you're like not accepting God's plan, bro? Like the way you're acting is just not religious. What happened to our community now that we don't allow people to mourn? We don't allow people to experience happiness. One time I was giving a khutbah and somebody laughed. And this brother came to me, he's like, you know, I don't think people should be laughing in the khutbah. I said, they cry in the khutbah. He's like, well, yeah, they should cry. Well, they shouldn't laugh. Like they can't be happy with God. They can't be happy with Islam. They gotta be always sad and morbid. So there's a balance. So when he said, you know, to be pleased with what God has given us, it doesn't mean to be like. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah, interesting story, he was told about one Sufi who his son died, and they said, your son died, and he started laughing. And Ibn Taymiyyah, he went off on this person. He's like, no, that's not how you really feel. You're not really, he's like, I know, but I'm trying to show like I'm really with God. He's like, but that's not being with God. That's like hypocrisy, you're lying. And God doesn't mind. The Prophet ﷺ, when his son died, Ibrahim, what did he do? He wept. And he said, you know, this is not going to be punished. لَكِنْ يُعَذِّبَانْ هَذَا وَهَذَا. But the tongue and the heart will be punished. Like, if I say something against God. But to be emotionally invested is okay. To struggle, to question, to wonder, to ask God, like, why is this happening to me? That's between you and God. That's great. That's an important maqam. That's the maqam of Ya'qub. I complain to who? I complain to God. And there's three areas for this on emotions. Number one is, for people who can handle it, it's a struggle. Number two, I may need support around me of people who can, like, help bolster me going through hard times. The Prophet said, Yashudu ba'dna ba'da. We support each other. And then there's people who may need therapeutic help. That's okay. If you suffer, or I suffer from emotional trauma, or depression, or psychological issues, going to a therapist is a form of worship. Because we have an axiom in Islamic law that says, whatever helps us complete an obligation becomes an obligation. So going to the therapist to be whole and healed to my life is like wudu to salah. So the sheikh, he says, the goal is wellness. But we have to frame wellness within the framework of being human. And now he's going to start to talk about what are the things that will help us achieve spiritual wellness. So we can continue, inshallah. And the first is ibadah. Worship. Always in the Quran, after knowledge is worship. Sayyidina Musa, when he is told, Innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana, O Moses, I'm God, fa'budani, worship me. Most scholars, they say that worship, unfortunately, because of secularism, we tend to define worship as the mosque. We tend to define worship as salah only. But most scholars, like if you look at classical texts, they'll say, كُلُّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهِ, anything God loves. وَيَرْضَى, and whatever is pleasing to God is worship. That's very important because sometimes within the scaffolding of the American Muslim community, we may have restricted what God left expansive. Like, not everybody wants to be a scholar. Not everybody wants to study. Not everybody wants to, like, go and become, like, a religious specialist. There were only 30 scholars amongst the Sahaba, by the way. The majority, they weren't scholars. But if we define worship according to its foundation in the Quran, we find that the Quran uses worship in the following tenses. Number one, of course, is like worshiping God, prayer, zakah, salah. Worship is also mentioned in the context of working. وَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ Allah mentions in the end of Surah Al-Muddathir. So my trade, my struggle, my efforts to take care of my life and my family is worship. So my being an artist, you know, being a designer, being an athlete, being an engineer, being a civil servant, being in whatever, it's all worship. The third is serving family. The fourth is serving community. The fifth is being an agent of justice. So we find worship in like five contexts in the Quran, even more. So the Sheikh, he says, al-ibadah, that worship in its broader understanding. And the reason he mentions that is to say this is the first key to achieving tranquility, because we're going to talk about later on this important statement of Abu Abbas al-Mursi, who said, man abada dhuhur, whoever always cares about attention, fa'abdu dhuhur, they're the slave of attention. I have a relative, subhanAllah, man, in Oklahoma, is younger, and every time I'm sitting with him, it's like, he looks at his phone more than us, and I ask him, like, what, he's like, I'm checking the likes, man. I was like, do you know those people? No. Then talk to people who you know. I don't like you. I was like, I don't like how you act right now. Unlike. He was like, but, I was like, no, but you know me, you don't know them. What matters? Right? Let's reframe how we look at what's important. So the Sheikh, he says, al-ibadatun kulluha jam'u wa nurun. That worship, the purpose of worship, number one is jam'. You know what jam' means? Should bring you together, should give you a sense of wholeness. Because if we look at worship, if we go up, like if we rise above it and look down, we see that the purpose of worship may be different than what we've been taught and maybe what we've been conditioned to know. So I'll give an example. Once I was in a Muslim country, I was reading the Quran in front of my friend's house. That time I had a longer beard, I was in a white robe. I was a student in those days. And I got to the part of Yasin, I was reviewing what I had memorized. And their phone started blowing up, man. And they came outside like, would you mind not reading Quran in front of our house? I was like, why? It's like, people thought like a catastrophe happened. That's what the meaning of the Quran is to people now. It's like someone outside reading the Quran, all hell must have broke loose on the inside. What does worship mean to you? Think about your past experiences with people, man. How you may have been treated. You may have also met someone that motivated you to achieve through worship. Is the process of achieving a godly relationship. When people convert, they ask me, what is Islam? I said, Islam is about reaching your potential tied to God. Not intimidating you, not beating you down. That's why we pray 2 rak'ah of Fajr, 3 rak'ah of Maghrib, and the rest of 4 rak'ah, because the angels have 2 wings, 3 wings, and 4 wings. So their wings cause them to fly, our worship causes us to fly. We're not anchored in that way. We're inspired to worship. So the Sheikh says, the first real reason for worship, after of course serving God, is to make you whole. Like, think about some of the things that have made us nervous over the last few weeks. They're really important. Think about some of the things that may have rocked us, that like really, really, if we were to pull out of our life and talk to ourselves, like, man, that's not even important, man. But then think about things that are important, that allows us to understand how to be whole. So he says, worship should create a sense of wholeness, sense of well-being. Wa nur, and light. And light is something which is constantly used. But without darkness, you can have light. So it doesn't mean it's always going to be perfect. But in times of confusion, worship will be that kind of nightlight that shines the way to the restroom for you. It's going to bring you a sense of safety and security. وَالْمَعَاصِي كُلُّهَا وَالْمَكْرُهَاتِ الْمُتَّفَقْ عَلَيْهَا تَفْرِيقٌ وَظُلْمًا. And sin, which is agreed upon, meaning scholars have come together and said, yeah, this is sinful behavior. And then those things which are clearly identified as sinful behavior in our texts create divisions. He doesn't necessarily mean communal divisions. What does he mean? It's going to divide you eternally. It'll split you up. It won't allow you to be whole and well. وَظُلْمَ and a sense of metaphoric blindness. So what he does now after talking about wellness is he's helping us reframe how we see worship. Worship is a means for achieving my whole self. Worship is a means of me marrying the outer and the inner. And worship is something that helps me see through difficult times and hard times. It's okay. Anyway. Is there any way you can like just scroll down so we can make sure that? Okay, that's cool. Thank you. And as you can tell, he's focusing on the heart. The heart. Afia is sukunu qalb. So now he's going to talk about after worship. The first step is a step of sincerity. But, like, sincerity is not really a good translation of ikhlas. Anyone here speak Arabic? So, like, indama natakhalas min ash-shay. Yeah, like, khalas. The word for sincerity is translated as ikhlas. And it's interesting, by the way, the form ikhlas is a form in Arabic which means I achieved it. I initiated, like Islam. So there's a sense of what? Individual responsibility. Oftentimes people are like, man, you know, I just hope I'll be made, you know, sincere. Like, the passive is hated in Islam. We like the active participle. Go get it. But the word ikhlas means more than sincerity. If you go to Surah An-Nahl, because people ask, like, how do I achieve sincerity? And something we need to be careful of. And Sheikh, he does this too. When tasawwuf and the ideas of tasawwuf are only about like philosophical stuff, I'll never be good. That's not tasawwuf. Tasawwuf is about I suck, but tomorrow I'ma suck a little less. That's what it is. It's not about being some kind of all. Right now you're a wali of Allah. Like if you say la ilaha illallah, you're a wali. The Prophet said this, and Allah says in the Quran, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. I'm the wali of anyone who believes in me. So it's not like spirituality is here and I'm here. No, the grit and the grind and the sin and the struggle, the pain and the joy, that's that process, that's what that is. The word ikhlas means to clean. In its pure meaning, we say, the asl tukhallas min ash-shawa'ib. Right, the honey was cleaned and made pure. That process when they pull the honey out and they take out the bees, you know, bodies and all the dirt and the muck and that's called takhallus. So in order for there to be ikhlas, there has to be filth. In order for something to be pure, it had to be what? Impure. That's why that word is beautiful. It's hard to translate. Like sincerity, it's like, okay. Not a word. I like it like sincere cleaning. And that's why in the Surah An-Nahl, the B, you'll find, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبَرَةٍ. In cows is a lesson for you. The Quran says, نسقيكم مما في بطونها. We provided you drink from what came out of the belly of the cow. بين فرث والدم. Between blood and feces. Allah says, what came out of that process between blood and feces? لبنا خالصا. The same word for ikhlas. Pure milk. So I asked my teacher, I had a teacher from Yemen. I don't know if you have any Yemenis here. May Allah bless you and remove this incredible challenge that's happened in Yemen. And now famine, subhanAllah. So we used to ask him, like, how do you have sincerity? Like, how do you become sincere? He used to say, لَبُدْ أَن تَمْشِي بَيْنَ فَرْثْ وَالدَّمْ. Meaning, like, you got to live your life through blood and feces. Metaphorically, you got to go through it. And through that process, you come out with ikhlas. So ikhlas is an event. Ikhlas is a process. Sincerity doesn't just suddenly happen. We have to move away from event-based religion to process-based religion. So the process of cleaning never stops. So the Sheikh, he defines it in his purest form. He gives us a distilled definition of ikhlas as being the first step of wellness. Ikhlas, why would one scholar say ikhlas is to be intoxicated with the Creator to the point you don't notice creation? It doesn't mean that I'm not responsible. No, I'm not those ikhtirab. I'm not rocked by superficialities. I'm not thrown off by little things. Oh, dude, I didn't get those new Yeezys. I'm not going out today, man. Like, really? Like, some Yeezys? So he said, إفراد القلب لله تعالى مطلوب بكل حال. Setting your heart and singling out your heart for God alone is requested in every situation. This has two meanings. Number one is demanding responsibility. Like, that's hard. Number two is that no matter where I am, a relationship with God is possible. So there's a meaning of, like, creating a sense of responsibility. Then there's also a meaning like, yo, it don't matter where you are, God is there. Our scholars said that there's eight situations, eight had means situations, that we experience in life. One of our teachers, he wrote a poem. He said, ثَمَانِيَةُ تَجْرِي عَلَى نَاسِ كُلِّهِمِ. Eight situations always impact people. وَلَا بُدَّ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَلْقَ الثَّمَانِيَةَ. You're going to find yourself in one of these eight. فُرْحٌ وَحُزْنٌ. Happiness, sadness. فِرْقَ اجْتِمَاعٌ. Being together, being separated. وَالْغِنَى وَالْفَقَرُ. Having enough to suffice. Poverty. وَالسَّقَمُ وَالْعَافِيَةَ. Health or sickness. That's it. The Shaykh is saying, of course, you can branch out from those a million different experiences. That in those situations, make sure that your heart is for God. What he means, the heart is for God, we'll talk about later on. Through worship, through service, through your investment. That's something which is constant. We can move on, inshallah. So, sincerity. Now he brings about the idea of responsibility. Up until this point, it's been kind of like, you know, kind of theoretical. It's kind of cool. It's beautiful. But now he brings it home. After, like, setting my heart for God, after trying to think about achieving the process of wellness, the process of sincerity, framing the purpose of ibadah is to please God, to make me whole, and to be that night light that shines through the hallway of dunya. Now maybe I feel like I'm that. Like, I'm there. So now he brings about some physical responsibility. He says, إِلْتِزَامٌ لَازِمٌ لِلْمَلْزُومِ مُوَصِّلٌ إِلَيْهِ.